of what's going on, what we do in our life, and what we're good at. And sometimes, and I can say this, sometimes as Mennonites, we kind of like, oh, I don't want to brag too much, we'll get too proud. Well, no, we need to build ourselves up sometimes, because what's happened is that many times in our life, we've worked hard, but we've failed at something. It happens. It failed, whether you're trying to do it, or you failed, or maybe there was something we did really good and we were made fun of. We thought we put in a lot of good work in this, we thought we played well, we thought we drew well, we thought whatever we did, but then we were made fun of, or we weren't appreciated or recognized. Or maybe we worked hard for something and were overlooked. Any of you ever had, you're hoping for a promotion, then you're overlooked and somebody else grabbed that, was given that promotion. We're overlooked, or someone else gets the accolades and the promotion. Maybe we've been ignored or even laughed at our attempt. There's all different things that we could look at our life and go, I remember those things that we didn't do well. And we remember, we may not remember the things that we've done well, because we kind of push them aside, but we don't tend to forget the ones that hurt us. These are all experiences that we've had, and then a part of us says, well, why try anymore? Why try at all? And then we just give up and go, you know what? That's just good enough. That's just what I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. All these experiences are hard. Now, I'm not trying to be glib here at all when I say the bottom line is that all of those experiences, Jesus knows exactly what went on there. Jesus was right there in whatever that experience was. And he saw it all. He hurt for you and me in that moment. He saw the hearts of those around you. And he looks at you and he goes, I've got you. I understand what was going on in this situation. And I saw what you did. Thank you. I love you. He did a good job. Maybe nobody else said anything, but you did a good job. So I'm going to pat you on the back. That's what Jesus says to us. Now, maybe there's something that really bugs you and is still sitting on your mind. I would love to sit down with you and talk to you about it and pray through it a little bit and encourage you. I'd love to do that, so give me a call. I'd love to do that. So then what happens is we come to church, and then we're encouraged and challenged by the preacher, try harder, get going. And we look back and go, that's just good enough. I don't know if I have the wherewithal to do more. And then I hear these preachers, oh, come on, put more effort into it. Work harder, do more, because it's all for Jesus. Let me encourage you this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Peter says, in view of all this, and he's talking about the divine power and that he's given everything to us for life and godliness. He says, in view of all this, make every effort. Here we go. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Make every effort. Work at it. Keep going. Now, don't shut off for me. I'll walk with you through this, okay? So just hold that, okay? The NIV says, for this very reason, make every effort to add supplement to your faith. What he's saying is work at it, and it does take work. Anything good, you know this. Anything good that you want to succeed at takes work. You don't become an instant good volleyball player. You don't become an instant good baseball player. You don't become an instant good speaker or an instant construction worker or whatever it is. You're not good at it just because you, well, there are a couple of people we know that anything they touch just happens and turns to gold. I know a few people like that. But the rest of us, we have to work at things. And that's what he's saying. Let's work at this. So, but here's the question. Why bother? Why bother? Why do the effort? Because God has given us everything we need to make it in life. He's given us everything we need to actually succeed, to actually grow, to actually do the effort. He's never saying to us, give the effort, do it, and then he stands back and watches and see what we're going to do. He's working with us. He's called us. We look at this. I love this in end of verse 3. It's not, I don't think it's up on, I don't think I put it up on the screen. I can't remember. Anyways, don't worry about it. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who's called us. He's called to every one of us. He's called us to him. And let's start there. Start right there. The first place to start is you and I are accepted. You and I are invited. Don't worry about everything else around our lives. Sit there for a moment and just to realize that, and as part of my mission statement, part of my tattoo here, I'm accepted. To just sit there and say, you are loved. I am loved. No matter what I've done, no matter what's going on in my life, your life, I am accepted. Sit there. Every day we need to sit there. When we get up in the morning, go, no matter what happens today, I am loved. I am accepted by the one who matters most. Then this passage goes on and says he's given us all kinds of promises for this life. All kinds of assurances. All kinds of gifts. All kinds of things to help us live. And then at the end, he's given us heaven. That when we finish this journey, when we finish our toil on earth, when we finish the struggles, he will welcome us and go, come in, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. It's all done. It's all done. Therefore, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Holy Spirit are not just cheering us on, but are right there along with us, helping us, in us, saying, keep going. Make every effort. And what that word means is applying all diligence. Yeah, it's working hard. Applying all diligence. Trying your hardest. Applying every effort. The New Testament was written in Greek way back when. And so this word in Greek is spoudē. Can you say spoudē? Spoudē. It means effort. So if you want to walk up to somebody and, somebody's playing baseball and you gotta, just yell at them, Spoonie! Spoonie! Effort! Forget it. Don't worry. The word means hurry, haste, earnestness, diligence, zeal, eagerness. It means all of that. It actually means effort. Make every effort to believe. believe. Make every effort to respond to God. Work at it. The Christian life is work. It is. If anybody told you it was easy, they were lying to you. There's moments when it's easy, but it is work. So let's illustrate this. Nick Reimer, a couple weeks ago, talked about this race that one of his friends was going to be running. So, not about this lady, but I'll read about this story. After 55 hours and nearly 230 miles, the Old Tom Backyard Ultra, which is a race close to Blumenauer, Manitoba, the Old Tom Backyard Ultra crowns the champion. This year, last weekend, that honor went to 28-year-old Nick Burney from Winnipeg, who battled through intense heat, humidity, rain, wind to outlast the competition. Did you hear that? 55 hours, 230 miles. The unique endurance event challenges runners to complete a 4.167 mile lap, 4 mile lap, in less than an hour. So you have to complete that 4 miles, 4+ miles, in an hour. As long as you complete it in an hour, you're ready for the next one. And you just wait. So if you're done and you've got some spare time, you just wait and you rest. And then at the beginning of the next hour, it's start again. What's the goals or however they do it? And the runners, there were 72 runners attempting to complete this race. After 51 hours, there were two runners remaining. Now, let's get back to this effort. The Apostle Peter is using strong language to emphasize just how strenuously, we need to pursue this goal. He says, make every effort. The word effort can be translated again, earnestness, haste, and zeal. Peter is fond of this word. He's used it 3 times in his book. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those whom God has called and chosen. You have to work hard. You have to work hard. That's just what it is. Work hard. Verse 15 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 14, it says, for our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me, the Apostle Peter, that I am soon to leave this earthly life. Lord Jesus has told him, you're going to die shortly. And we know that he was eventually martyred for his death. So then he says, so I work hard. It's the same word. I work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. He's working hard. But then he comes to the end of the book, near the end of it, in chapter 3, verse 14. And so, it's like he's concluding this letter. It says, and so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, for the Lord to come back, that's the context. While you're waiting these things to happen, make every effort to be found living faithful lives that are pure and blameless in this sight. Okay. Pure and blameless? Peter, you're asking me to live a pure and blameless life? Yes, he is. But I can't do that. He goes, I know. Neither can I. I know. But I'm encouraging you to do because it's going to take work. I'm asking you to make every effort. Make every effort. Work at it. The last verse is especially interesting, for it repeats the basic exhortation that we have here and serves to round off the letter. The Apostle Peter's point is clear. Spiritual growth is not a matter that Christians can treat lightly. Spiritual growth is not to be taken lightly. Spiritual growth is not to be thrown to the side. It is a goal to which we give our bodies and our souls and our minds and our spirits every day of our lives. It just is that important goal. I call us towards that good spiritual growth. But what if we can't do it? What if we can't do it? I can't do it. What if we're ready to give up? That's where we lean more into each other. And that's the point of church. Let's go, and I've handled this verse several times here. I'm going to go back to Hebrews. I don't think it's on the PowerPoint. I go back to Hebrews. And there's one verse here that people have usually taken out of context. It says, "Let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage each other to continue to meet." That's why we have to have church. That's why we can't let the government tell us not to have church. Not the point of this verse. Because you go to two verses earlier. He's saying, the Apostle Paul, who I think wrote Hebrews, says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope." What's that hope? It's Jesus and heaven and everything that he's given us. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise." He's going to help us. He's going to walk with us. "Let us think of ways then to motivate each other and into acts of love and good works." Let's help each other. And then it says, "Let's not neglect meeting together." That's what we're doing here this morning. Beyond the coffee and cookies and cupcakes and fruit, that's what we're doing this morning. We're here encouraging each other, smiling each other. Yeah, maybe there's stuff going on in our lives that we're not going to tell anyone, and we probably need to, but we're here, sweating like anything. Anyone else with me? Right? We're sweating here, but we're here to get, I just have to say it because you just already feel it, right? State the obvious. He's saying, hold tight, God can be trusted, motivate and spur each other, keep meeting together. Life is hard. Life is hard. Now let's go back to this race. Back to this old Tom backyard race. How could they keep going? Two runners, 51 hours. Both Austin Sedgwick from Lethbridge and Nick Burney of Winnipeg have support crews by their side, helping men now understand something here. And if you've run any of the Manitoba marathons, or I've run some 5Ks, I'm running my 5K, and I have no fans. My wife doesn't even show up to cheer me. I don't have a team of people with me. I'm just running the 5K all by myself. Okay? Well, last week, you know, Colin and Nick and Amy were there, but they were running their own races all by themselves. But this race is different. This race is different. Both these gentlemen and others, I'm sure, but it's about these two guys, have support crews by their side, helping manage everything from food, hydration, recovery, and encouragement. Those four things their teams were doing. They were helping them. So they finish the 4.167 mile, and they sit down, and whatever time they've got left in that hour, you got to eat or you got to drink. Remember, they're going through in 51 hours. That's 2 days. They're running. 2 days. They needed food. They needed hydration. They needed recovery. They needed encouragement between laps of this grueling race. And Nick Burney, 55 hours, almost 55 hours, he won the race. And could never have done it alone. What's the opposite of making every effort? What's the opposite of effort?
Effortless.
Effortless, yes! Yes! That's absolutely right. Effortless, not given an effort. Is it laziness? Is it apathy? I don't care. Yeah. Maybe it's overwhelm. Maybe it's weariness. See, there's all kinds of factors that can come into our effort that cause us to be effortless. And I want to encourage us that together we can make every effort. Together. Now, here's the question. Excuse me. What right does Peter have to tell us to make every effort? Find Peter, tell us. Make every effort. What right does he have? In Luke chapter 5, it tells the story of Jesus preaching to a whole bunch of people, and he says to Peter, who's the owner of the boat, "Hey, Peter, can you get in the boat? Can we push off shore a little bit?" Which is brilliant, before sound systems, to preach from and to teach from the edge of the water onto the beach was great for sound. Sound just travels. That's why you got to be careful. If you're out in the middle of the lake, don't talk so loud. Honestly. Because your voice will travel a long way. And Jesus knew this. And so he's teaching. And then he turns to Peter and goes, "Hey, push out a little bit and drop your net on the other side." And he goes, "Lord, we fished all night," which is the better time to fish. At night, it's cooler. And the fish will rise a little higher. So we fished all night and didn't catch anything. But, okay, Lord, if you say, I'll do it. So he throws the net over it, and all of a sudden it's just full of fish. And he calls his other buddies from the other fishing boats to come in. And then he looks at these fish and he goes, "Oh my." And then he looks at Jesus and he probably rightfully said, "Oh my God." And he looks at Jesus and he goes, "Away from me. Depart from me. I am a sinful man." Peter almost gave up on everything because he was overwhelmed and he realized his sinfulness. He realized who he is. He realized who he isn't. And he said to Jesus, no way. I can't. I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough effort, I don't have enough wherewithal, I don't have any resilience, I don't have any strength, I can't follow you. And he almost lost it. Do you remember the other time? Well, there's probably a few. But when he denied Jesus three times, denied, he even called down curses on himself, he even said he swore, "I don't know the man." And he denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. He almost totally lost his faith. He could end up like Judas, but he didn't. And he hung on because Jesus was with him. And that great conversation a few days later, come Peter, let's feed you. Let's pull in. Go to 1
First Peter.
Second Peter. Wow. Second, you need to get me. We're almost done here. First, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power, God has given us everything we need for godly living. We've received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who's called us to Himself by His own glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. And these are the promises that enable, that help, that empower you and I to share His divine nature and escape the world's corrections. Verse 5. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Make every effort to supplement your faith. Make every effort to grow. Application and reflection. What do you want to do about that? Cody and Todd, come on out. What do you want to do? Ask yourselves a question. Am I living my Christian life alone? Am I living my Christian faith alone? Am I part of the team called church? I'm not talking about the organization. I'm talking about the ecclesia. I'm talking about the gathering. I'm talking about the body. Am I part of this team? Am I leaning in to each other? Ask yourself, is there someone that we know that needs help? That's struggling with their effort? That's struggling to keep going? That's almost maybe ready to throw their faith away? Do they need some help? Is there somebody that we can reach out to? The last question. What is one thing that I need to do, that I need to do to strengthen my effort? What's one thing I need to do to strengthen my effort to live for Jesus? Let's stand together. Thank you that we can be together, worship you, honor you, and bless you. Thank you for everything that you've given to us to live a life and to live for godliness. And Jesus, I confess, we confess that there are times I don't have the effort. I confess that sometimes I don't know what to do, or I don't want to do something that I know I should do. God, sometimes I don't have the effort. Help me. Help us. And Lord Jesus, I pray for any person here right now just feels weary. Maybe apathetic. Maybe wayward. Oh, Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and just wrap your arms around me and see if we can do it. And Jesus, if there's things that are dogging us from years ago that just tell us you're not good enough, you can't do that. Your effort was useless. I pray, Jesus, that you would just encourage us and lift us. We want to follow you, Jesus. That's our heart, but sometimes we can't. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Help us, Jesus. I pray. in your name.